Grab your Bibles. We're going to get started this morning. Here's a question to get your brain going this morning, all right? It's a doozy. Have you ever experienced something that changed how you lived your life forever? I know that's a deep one. That's a heavy one. Okay? Could be something bad. Could be something good. Okay? But something happened in your life that it changed how you lived forever. Not just your life, but how you lived your life from that standpoint. Okay? So, and if you I don't want you to share your deepest, darkest secrets or hurts with us, but maybe you have a funny one. Feel free to text it in, 605-215-5150. If you're watching online, maybe if you have one, that might be a little more fun to share, because again, this could be a good or bad answer to this question. But text it in and share that with us. But last week, if you were here, if you watched online, our message was titled Redefined. Okay? Remember, we talked about how when we enter into a relationship with Jesus, it redefines who we are. Identity is now different once we start following Jesus. Okay? Our identity is in Him. It's not in our past. It's not in our failures. It's not in our current temptations. It's not in our feelings. It is in Him alone. Okay? We reference 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 speaks of us being a new creation when we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. So last week we talked about being redefined. We talked about who we are in Christ. But this week we are going to talk not about who we are in Christ, but how we now live in Christ. Okay? And the title of the message is Realigned. Last week we talked about being redefined. This week we're going to talk about being realigned, because when we come to Christ, there's a shift that happens. There's something that changes. It's not just a change of identity, but it's a change. It's a realigning of our priorities. It's realigning of how we live for Him. Okay, so I'm going to pray one more time and ask the Lord to help me speak. His word is already anointed, but I need help to communicate it. So let's just pray one more time. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for what you have already done here this morning, your presence that we have felt here. And God, your word, Lord, it speaks to us, and God, it is anointed. But I just pray that you would help me to communicate what you have for me to say this morning. God, whether someone is listening at home on their couch, whether they're here in person, God, I pray that you would speak to every heart, every mind, in Jesus' name, amen. And so this morning, the Bible is pretty clear that once we turn to Christ, something should not only change within us, okay, we referenced it last week, but it also changed in how we act, how we live, how we function. And there's a stark difference in that before and after. Have you guys, this is my favorite, have you guys seen the before and after pictures, especially of diets? Those are the best. I mean, those are the worst. Have you seen that? Okay, you get a man or a woman, they're really frumpy, their clothes are, you know, if it's a woman, she's not putting makeup on yet. Okay, and they're probably pushing out their guts the best they can. I mean, it's just, that's the before picture, right? And then 8 weeks later, suddenly she has makeup, her hair is combed, his hair is combed, right? They're smiling, okay? They're sucking in their gut. You know, they go from this to, hey, you know, 8 weeks later, and you're like, I want to buy that. Whatever happened to them, I want to buy that. And really all they did was just change their pose, probably. They changed their expression. And so those before afters are great. I won't ask who's purchased any products because of the before after picture. But that's a little bit about what I'm talking about. When someone commits their life to Christ, there is a distinct before and after that should be happening. All right? And I don't necessarily mean your photo. Okay, if it shows up in your face, great. But this goes way beyond the surface. But I want to look at this because Scripture does this quite frequently. It does a before and after. The Apostle Paul does this a lot in his writings, and so we're really going to be digging into the Apostle Paul this morning and things that he had to say. But number one, I want to look at life before Christ. Okay, last week we talked about our identity and how we change as a person. Now we're going to talk about how we live as a person, how that's changed. So I'm going to look at life before Christ. Okay, and Paul does a couple things. There's a couple passages where he describes what life was like before Christ to those that he was writing to. Okay, he was writing to New Testament believers, and so we're able to apply that to ourselves. And I want you guys to follow along. We're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 2, but this is how he describes life before Christ to a group of believers. Okay, he opens his letter to Ephesus. He opens it by thanking God and really showing great gratitude for what the Lord has done for them. And that was a common practice in his letters, and even in Hebrew writings. They would begin by thanking God, and you would often see them talk about where God has brought them from to where God has brought them to. And so here he does his own version of a before and after, okay? And so he reminds them in Ephesians chapter 2, he had thanked God about for their new life in Christ. And this is where he kind of reminds them of what their life was like before, okay? So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "As for you, you were dead in transgressions and sins," right? "In which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air and the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." And so here the Apostle Paul, in one of his letters, is describing this life before Christ. And remember, he's talking to people who had already changed their identity in Christ. They've already been redefined, like we talked about last week. See, he's thanking God for where they've come from, and now he's reminding the people, this is what your life was like before. Okay? And even in the Old Testament, you'd see some of these before and afters. You remember, as we've studied in the Old Testament, they would often say, well, the God that brought you out of Egypt. Okay, that was a common practice in Scripture, reminding people of what God had done for them, because sometimes as people, we get forgetful. Okay? The God that brought you out of Egypt, the God that delivered you from slavery. Here, this is Paul's version. Okay? And this is how we lived before Christ. You were dead in transgressions and sins. Well, that's pretty gloomy. Okay? And that's the way we used to live. And look a few verses later in verse 12. He says, "Remember that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world." And he uses several words there to say, remember that time you were not a part of the family of God. That's what he's saying. Okay? You were lost in transgressions and sin. You were lost in your rebellion. That's where God has brought us from. Okay? And we all lived like that at one time, but just following the cravings and desires of our flesh. We were outside of the family of God, without hope and without God in the world. And so here he describes the state of his readers' lives before Christ. Okay? Before Christ, Paul says, we are aligned with the flesh. And that's a nice church word we don't often use out in the real world. Okay? You may take a stab at what flesh means here in this passage. Is Paul saying our epidermis is evil? Anybody? No. Okay. So okay. Stage one. He's not talking about our physical flesh. He's not talking about epidermis, right? Other translations will use sinful nature instead of flesh in a passage like this. Okay. He said we lived among them one time. We're just gratifying the cravings of our flesh, right? Following its desires and thoughts. And he uses this term flesh to describe how we were aligned before Christ, all right? Before Christ, our lives are aligned and dominated by our flesh. And he uses this term frequently throughout his writings. And depending on translation, you'll see flesh, you'll see sinful nature, like I said. But it figuratively speaks to our fallen human nature that we are all born with and desires that flow from that. Okay? And here's a little review. If you are new to following Jesus, or maybe you're watching or listening and you're just kind of checking this out, here's a little bit review. Okay, we believe that Adam and Eve, the first humans created by God, rebelled against God. And the consequence of that is we are born with this fallen nature that is inherently in rebellion towards God. Okay, and in conflict with God. Which is why Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had to come to pay that penalty for us because of our rebellion. And now he offers forgiveness and new life for everybody who will respond to that offer. Okay. We spoke about this a little bit last week. You can, if you want to dig into Romans chapter 8, you guys write it down. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 21 talks about that a little bit more of death coming through Adam and life through Jesus. I'm going to read one verse here, Romans chapter 8, verse 17, that speaks of this. It says, "For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ." So this is the concept that we're talking about. Sin came through Adam, life comes through Jesus. All right? And so a little bit of review there. So our lives, as we are born into this world, our lives are inherently aligned with our flesh, our sinful nature. And that's the great thing. You share Jesus with somebody, we're all in the same boat before Jesus. It's not that we're better people or more talented people or better looking people and God decided to choose us. Okay? We were all in the same boat before Christ, okay? We all had the same problem. We all had the same answer. So it's not that we were better somehow, and God chose us. And when God chose Israel in the Old Testament, He in fact said, it's not because you were better that I chose you. In fact, it was kind of because you're weaker and smaller. And so God shows His grace to us in that we're all in the same boat before Jesus. So our lives are aligned with our flesh, our sinful nature before Christ. That's kind of our default way of operating. That's our default way of living. You guys follow me so far? Does that make sense? And so as we come to Christ, we are realigned, okay? Now you might say, well, does that mean somebody that's not living for Christ can ever make a moral decision that is good and right? Well, they can. All right? We are all made as moral free agents. We're all made in the image of God. And we are people, even the people that don't follow Jesus, are capable of making decisions at times that are morally okay. All right? But the Bible describes before Christ, people naturally defaulted to the sinful flesh and sinful nature as slaves to sin because they're living under a death sentence because of their sin and separation to the Lord. All right? And so as followers of Christ, positionally we have changed. We talked about that last week. If you weren't here, go listen to that. Our identity has changed to one that has accepted Christ's goodness and Christ's holiness in place of our own because we can't measure up on our own. So before Christ, we are aligned with our flesh, our sinful nature. After Christ, there is a shift that happens. Okay? The domination of sin and the consequence that comes with that, it just hangs over our heads before Christ. And sadly, whether people know it or not, that is the truth. That is the case. Paul describes an extreme example of this in Philippians chapter 3. He says, "For as I have often told you before, and I now tell you again, even in tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things." Again, this is a before picture. This is an extreme before picture, but it is. But we see this in our society, don't we? Feelings and desires, human feelings and desires being held up as moral high grounds and the highest standards of morality, and people being proud of what separates them from God. It's an upside-down culture. It's an upside-down belief system, constantly focusing on what pleases them now without regard to their eternal future. And this is the life before Christ. But Paul finishes this passage in Philippians chapter 3 by saying in verse 20, he says, "But our citizenship is in heaven." So not only in Ephesians, but here in Philippians, he also shows this before and after. Okay, before Christ, they're living as enemies of the cross of Christ, being proud of things they should be ashamed of. Their God is their stomach, which means they're just whatever I feel like I want to do, I go do. Okay? It says their mind are set on earthly things. So in Ephesians and Philippians, in both these letters of the Apostle Paul, we see him do before and after. And he says here in Philippians, it says, our citizenship is in heaven. That's where we are now. He's speaking to people who have been redefined, and he's explaining how life has changed after Christ, how our lives are realigned. We go back to Ephesians chapter 2 that we started in. Verse 4, it says, Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. So here we see Philippians, we see Ephesians, Paul using this same dynamic of before and after, like I said. Before Christ headed to destruction, the line with the flesh. After Christ, we're finally in the family of God. Our future changes. Our eternal destination changes. And that's where this shift happens, okay? That's where this realigning happens. Our identity has changed. And now that we've been redefined, now we begin to be realigned. We are realigned with the Spirit of God instead of our fallen nature that we inherit, okay? That is no longer our default. So I want to spend some time looking at our life after Christ. Paul did a before and after. We're going to look at a before and after here, okay? And if I talk fast enough, I don't have a lot left, okay? Snowy day, we'll get you in time to watch the snow melt on the road. God bless you. That's the most excited I've seen some of you in a long time. All right? So we looked at life before Christ, and again, now we're going to look at life after Christ. This is where the shift happens. This is where there should be a fundamental change. In John chapter 4, there's a story told of Jesus and a Samaritan woman. Okay, Jesus and his disciples are passing through Samaria. They didn't actually have to pass through Samaria, but God apparently knows what he's doing. Okay, and Jesus is passing through Samaria as well. He meets a Samaritan woman. And if you're aware of the conflicts between Jews and Samaritans, I mean, Jesus was crossing cultural boundaries, not only talking to a woman, not only talking to a woman by himself, but he was talking to a Samaritan woman. Okay, and so Jesus is here crossing all of these social and cultural boundaries and begins having a conversation with this woman who is not living the holiest of lives. Okay, and I don't know about you, but if I go to Hy-Vee and I'm standing there debating between a gallon or half a gallon of milk and a woman comes up to me, okay, maybe it's the town floozy. I don't know. You guys have a town floozy up here? Some are like, yeah, we do. Okay, that's a technical term. It's not Greek or Hebrew, but floozy. Okay, let's say I'm talking to the town floozy. Okay, and I'm like, hey, I'm the pastor at Cornerstone, and we're talking about, oh, are you a 2%er or are you a 1%er? Are you a skin boy? And we're having this conversation, and then I reveal to her that I know she's had 5 husbands, and right now she's shacking up with a dude that is not currently her husband either. Okay, I don't know if she would be really excited to come to church the next Sunday. Hey, just come on in. But here Jesus is having this conversation with this woman, reveals that he knows the life that she's living, and she recognizes him at least as a prophet. Okay? The Samaritans believed in a Messiah, not exactly how the Jewish people did, but they did believe that a Messiah, a prophet figure, would come. And she's like, oh, man, you must be a prophet. Okay, even if she didn't recognize Jesus yet as the Messiah, like, man, you must be a prophet, because there's no way you should have known that. And so they're having this conversation, and Jesus, in just a couple verses, begins to talk about that shift that happens from before Christ to after Christ, okay? They begin having this religious conversation about the conflicts that Jews and Samaritans had about worship, because they didn't agree on how to serve God, they didn't agree on how to worship God, they didn't even agree on where to worship God, okay? They start having a geography conversation. Okay, so John chapter 4, here's Jesus' response here. I'm just going to read a couple verses. He says, there's a time that is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. And so as he's having this conversation with the Samaritan woman, he's saying, listen, lady, I don't know what her name was. Let's call her Susie. Susie the town floozy. No, I don't know. All right? That's not in my notes. I just made it up. That's why I'm your pastor and not anybody else. But he's saying, listen, it's not about geography. It's not about your traditions. Okay? It's not about the form and function that the Jews and Samaritans maybe are obsessing over, even though they didn't agree on what that should look like, how that should play out. It's not about holy places. But it's about engaging God on a spiritual level. It's about engaging God in the Spirit. And we live in a culture that is dominated by materialism, where the default cultural view is we can only believe in what we can touch and see and feel. Okay? Now, as believers, hopefully we recognize that there is a spiritual component to our lives. And that's what Jesus is saying, that there's a time coming when it's not about the form and function, it's not about the geography, it's not about the holy places, but it's about people that are inherently spiritual, connecting with God and worshiping with Him on a spiritual level. Okay? Do you realize you're a spiritual person whether you're pursuing Jesus or not? Right? We are created with the Spirit, and theologians and Christian philosophers, they can argue whether the soul and spirit are same or separate, but that doesn't really matter for our conversations today. So if you want to do a deep dive, I can give you some names. You guys can go do some reading, okay? But we are not just our skin, right? I think most of you would agree with that, right? We're not just our skin, okay? Our consciousness is not a material thing, all right? We are not just our skin, our soul, our spirit. We are spiritual people with the Spirit, and that is going to live forever somewhere, either with God or separated from Him. Okay? And Jesus said there's a time when we're not going to obsess about geography, okay, or architecture. But it is spiritual people serving God who is a spirit on a spiritual level. And even that talk makes some people nervous, right? Because we like things that we can touch and explain and feel and things that we can control. But that's the thing that separates us from the rest of the world that God created. Do you know that's the difference between you and your dog or your cows or your cats or your llamas? I don't know. Anybody have llamas? I don't know. I'm just throwing rain. I don't want to leave anybody out. Your goldfish, kids, your ferrets. That's the thing that separates you, right? We were created in the image of God, which means we were created with the capacity to know Him, to serve Him, to worship Him. That separates human beings from the rest of creation because we are inherently spiritual beings, whether we recognize that or not. And that's what Jesus is saying. There's a time coming when people are going to serve me, worship me in spirit. And so once our identities have been redefined, our loyalties and how we live, they are realigned from flesh to spirit. All right? That doesn't mean that our flesh is gone. That just means that we are no longer slaves to it. That means we can say no to it. It means we're not dominated by it. But now we are aligned with the Spirit of God, and now we have access to a relationship with God that we did not have before. In a letter to the Galatians, Paul writes it this way. He says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. He describes this conflict between the Spirit and the flesh, but because of Jesus, we are set free from the domination of our flesh, and we are able to engage God at a spiritual level. We are realigned from flesh to spirit. So how do we do this? Okay, other translations will call this walking by the Spirit or living in the Spirit. Okay, and it sounds woo up here. But that doesn't change the fact that we are spiritual beings. And God has created us especially to connect with Him on a spiritual level. And if we don't get this, you're going to miss out on all the things that God has for you and all that He could do through you and in you. Okay? Living by our flesh or our sinful nature is easy. That is really easy. We just do whatever we want to in the moment without regard to anything other than how we feel or what we want. But living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, this life led by the Spirit is not so easy. So how do we do it? We do it by continually investing into our spirit, by cultivating a closeness with the Spirit of God. All right, well, how's that done? Right, there are some simple ways to do this. This sounds really up here, but there are some simple ways to do it, okay? We are spiritual beings. We are made with the capacity to know Him. We can approach Him in prayer. That's a spiritual activity. Did you know prayer is a spiritual activity? You may not feel like it in the moment, but that is a spiritual activity. All right, you are connecting to Him in prayer. Paul says, "I pray with my spirit, but I pray with my mind too." I mean, so Paul's pulling double duty there. Right? Do you realize worship can be spirit involved? Like, well, how does that happen? Spirit involved worship is when you move beyond what you want to do and begin engaging God in a way that maybe doesn't make you feel comfortable. All right? Because in my flesh, I don't know that I want to raise my hands and everybody look at me and wonder what's going on with me. Okay? In my flesh, I don't want to get up early or stay up late or carve time out of my day to always read God's Word, because that's a spiritual discipline and it's a work, but it's also an investment in your spirit. Why? Because these are Spirit-inspired words, and as I read them, as I study them, they are planted in my life. That is a spiritual pursuit. And just like things that are planted, you don't always see the fruit of that till later, right? We got enough people that understand that. Okay, you come to Jesus, you think you read one chapter of your Bible, and man, I'm good. Things should be changing right away. Man, God shapes our character over time, right? We talked about it last week. If you missed it, go back and listen. Positionally, we are secure as His sons or daughters, but He shapes our character as we go along, as we grow. And if we're not involved in these activities, these disciplines, man, our growth is going to be stunted. I mean, that's why you see people in church 20, 30 years, and they're not any more mature in Christ after 20, 30 years than they are at the beginning. Why? Because they've not invested into the Spirit of God. They've not cultivated that life of the Spirit through Spirit-inspired reading, through worship, through prayer, through sacrifice. Okay? Amy and I, we have a habit of giving. We love to give. We love to give to missions. We support about 9 friends that are missionaries. We love to do that. Okay? I can't tell you how many times in the last 12 years, like, Lord, that's a car payment. But I trust you. Here you go. There's been times when, like, I believe in tithing. I believe it's a biblical principle. And I don't do it because I have to. I do it because it's a principle and God blesses it. And because I recognize that all my money's not His. There's times when my tithe is zero, but we gave to missions. All right? Or that's worship on a day where you don't feel like worshiping. That's the time you need to worship the most. You want to grow? Man, worship when you don't feel like it. Clap when you don't want to move your hands. Seriously. Right? That's investing into the Spirit of God. That is developing a life of the Spirit. And the more you do that, the more we engage God at a spiritual level, the closer we get to be with Him, the easier it is for Him to shape our character, okay? And neglecting any one of these, guys, will greatly impact your life in the Spirit. And I want you to hear me when I say this. We don't do it to earn God's favor. You understand that? You guys understand that? Because we can misunderstand that. God doesn't love me more if I worship Him louder. Right? God doesn't love me more if I give more. God doesn't love me more if I read 4 chapters a day instead of 3. Right? Because He cannot do anything greater to show His love than He already did by sending Jesus when we were still in our sin. Romans 5:8. Write it down. Look it up later. He's already done the greatest act of love He could ever do. So this is not about earning God's favor. It's not earning about God's love. It is about cultivating a life of the Spirit. It's cultivating a life with God who is the Spirit, becoming closer to Him. And as we become closer to Him, we become more effective for His kingdom. We become more like Him as we spend time with Him. That's why we do those things. They are also an acknowledgement that He is Lord. Giving, that's an acknowledgement that He's the Lord, that He's our provider. Worship, that's an acknowledgement that He's still good, regardless if my day has been horrible. God, man, I'm still going to praise You because You don't change. Okay, maybe you guys knew that already, but you've got to understand that. It's not about gaining His love. We've already got that. It's about becoming closer to Him. It's about becoming more like Him. It's about becoming more effective for Him. It's about positioning ourselves to be better equipped to be used by Him. Okay? So I don't know who needed to hear that. There you go. So here's the question as we close, because we're going to evaluate a couple things and then have Jamie come back up. We're going to close with a song. But are you investing in your flesh or your spirit? It's been pretty simple. We looked at before and after today. Are you investing in your flesh or your spirit? And how can you tell? I know people don't like when I single them out, so I'm not going to use any names. Do we have any farmers in here? How do you tell what seed you planted? Guys, this is a brain teaser. Anybody, even if you're not a farmer, feel free to answer. How do you tell what seed you planted? Yeah, what comes up in the field, right? I mean, we're, the results. God bless you, young man. Thank you. Yeah. All right. You don't plant corn and then you get pickles. I don't know. It's a horrible example, right? People are harvesting pickles. Big pickle harvester. I want to see that. Right? You know what's planted by whatever comes up, by whatever's produced, okay? Are you investing into your flesh or your spirit? Right now I'm talking to those who would say, I'm a follower of Jesus. But, you know, and this is how you can tell. We were already in Galatians chapter 5. Paul spells it out here. He says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, okay? When you follow those desires, here's the results. He says they're very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery. Anybody practicing sorcery? I guess you wouldn't admit it if you do, okay? Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. You want to know if you're investing in your flesh, are these the things that are coming up in your life? Odds are you're investing in your flesh. All right? So if you're entertaining things that are producing these things in your life, you need to seriously evaluate these things you're allowing to enter your life. All right? I'm not going to tell you you can't go to the movies or the bowling alley and you got to wear your hair in a bun. That's not my job. All right? I trust God's Word and His Spirit to speak to you. If there are some things that are coming up in your field You need to see what you're investing into your life. Right? And he continues. All right? He says, the fruit of the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Listen, you want to know what you're investing in, see what your life is producing. Okay, I can't answer that for you. You can. All right, are you investing things into your life and in your spirit that are producing the fruit of the Spirit? Okay? Separation from God is the result of us investing in our flesh. Okay? But life and peace is a result of us investing into our spirit. And that should be our default thinking now. We should be changed from people that default to the flesh, people of the Spirit. And again, I understand some of you are not used to thinking that way. Okay? But it doesn't change the fact that we are spiritual beings. God is a spirit, and that's how we communicate with him. That's how we grow, by spirit-inspired words, by seeking spirit-inspired words and engaging at a spiritual level, by praying. Okay? By engaging the Spirit of God. And so once we've been redefined, our the way we live, how we live, should be realigned from flesh to spirit. So I'm going to ask Jamie and Ian to come up. And I want to give you guys the chance to respond at your seat. And I just want you to think about what we've talked about this morning. But also, as we've read here in Galatians chapter 5, I want you to think about, what are you allowing into your life and what is it producing? Okay? And maybe we're all perfect in here. Okay? Maybe it's the people watching online. You know, they're on their couch. It's got to be them, right? Okay, but let's honestly evaluate our lives. Are we investing in our flesh, or are we investing in our spirit? And God may say, you know what? You need to drop a toxic relationship. Maybe there's a show. Maybe there's a website you're going to. It's stirring up lustful pleasures in your life, even if it's not a bad one. I don't know what it is. That's up to you. That's up to the Spirit of God to speak to you. But my prayer is, as a church, we would align ourselves with Him. He is spirit. We are more spirit than we're flesh. We just don't realize that. But we connect with him on a spiritual level. And so, if you're not a follower of Jesus, and whether you're here or you're watching online or listening later, you know, I ask at the beginning, if you'd experienced something that had changed how you lived your life forever. And we read verses that discuss the hopelessness of that, of being without God, without hope in the world. But today, then you've got to know that God offers forgiveness for you. In his goodness, he offers forgiveness for you and a new life in him. Even though we're all born in rebellion and in conflict with him, Jesus offers us forgiveness and a restored relationship with him. And so, listen, I want to encourage you, if that is you, I want you to respond to him this morning, whether you're here or at home. And God says in his word that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We admit that we're in rebellion. It's just like, God, I know I'm in rebellion, I'm in sin, I'm away from you. We believe what Jesus did for us, that he died and rose again, and he paid the penalty of our rebellion that we couldn't pay on our own. And then we commit our life to him. We go all in. Our whole life is yours. We can't hold anything back. We can't cross our fingers. And we go all in with him. So if you need Jesus this morning, listen, feel free to talk to me. If you're here, use the text number, email the church. But commit your life to Christ this morning if you feel the Lord speaking to you and you need to respond to him. And if you're a follower of Jesus, again, are you cultivating your life in the Spirit? And what do you need to do to change? Ask the Lord that. Just as Jamie leads us in singing, let's respond to him. What areas are you neglecting? Just allow God to speak to us this morning.